Hey everyone, welcome into another edition of the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw, coming to you from TCO Studios at Winter Park without producer Nate Vaughn, who's out on vacation in his place. It's Jordan Strzok, who's going to produce the Wobcast.
Hi, hey Jordan. Guys.
What's up, man? Welcome into the Wobcast. Thanks for doing it. This is not your first time producing a Wobcast. You were a fill-in during the regular season at one point. You did such a great job. You're back. Are you excited?
Yes.
Not convinced.
Yes.
Now, when you do this, is it like substitute teacher where you come in and do your own thing and mess with what the regular teacher does? Or do you follow a strict operating procedure set forth by the regular producer?
I'm kind of a trailblazer in that. Yeah. I like to blaze my own trails.
Right.
You know what trailblazers do? They blaze trails.
So you do your own thing.
I do my own thing. Also, I like to mess with Nate a little bit. You know, mm-hmm. He's kind of particular about his setup, and I like to loosen him up a little bit.
Right. Because you know he's going to listen back, and things are going to be different, and you know how he's going to react to that, and you sit, you know, 5 feet from him in the office, so it's good banter. So.
Right, and currently Nate Vaughn is in Cuba.
Right.
And obviously the Wobcast is a global entity that
right.
I'm sure he's listening on a beach, you know.
Right.
As we speak.
Right, in Cuba. Who goes to Cuba?
Nate does.
Right, amazing. So we hope you're having fun, Nate. We look forward to your return, but in the meantime, we're going to do this Wobcast our own way. It's going to be a quick show, so here we go. We're going to start off by wishing Randy Moss a belated happy birthday. Jordan, you and I grew up in Minnesota. We grew up watching the Vikings, and we grew up in like the 90s and early 2000s, which means Randy Moss was front and center for us as we grew up watching football. He's 40 years old now.
That's crazy. I still think back to the three deep days.
Yes.
I still have a poster in my mom and dad's house that says three deep.
Yep. I think there are probably, you know, three main factions of Vikings fans. You have the ones who became fans during the Purple People Eater days. You have the ones who have become fans recently. But I think the middle ground is people who became fans in the late 90s with that team, right?
Right.
And those are the people who get mad when we don't score 40 points every game.
Right.
That's their expectation.
We're not used to the, you know, the 10-9 games. We're used to the 38-42
right.
games of yesteryear.
And Randy Moss is a big reason for that because he was awesome. One of the best NFL players of all time, one of the best Vikings of all time, a surefire Hall of Famer, first ballot or not. We'll have to wait and see. He is eligible next year for the Hall of Fame.
That's one of those things, too, I was going to mention that, you know, obviously, because we're so close to it, we know a lot of the Hall of Famers' names. You know, mm-hmm. you know who they are, but, like, I was very excited to see this year's class because, like, this is my
right.
this is my NFL
where
experience.
You know all of them.
I know all of them. I've seen them play live. I remember it all. Like, now we're getting into my time
yep.
of Hall of Fame.
And next year, the first eligible people, Randy Moss is included in that.
Right.
You know, Ray Lewis is also eligible
right.
for the first time next year. And he's a guy who I think is a first ballot guy. First ballot guys should be very rare. I think Ray Lewis could be one of them. But Randy Moss will be eligible next year. He's going to go into the Hall of Fame at some point, hopefully next year. So happy birthday to Randy Moss. Here's an interesting note. You guys posted the video of all of Moss's 40-yard touchdowns.
Right.
It takes 9 minutes to watch that video. It takes 9 minutes to watch a video compilation of all of Randy Moss's 40-yard touchdowns. Not all of his touchdowns. The 40-yarders. It's unbelievable. But Randy Moss was unbelievable. So belated happy birthday to him. All right, let's talk about the incoming class of players, Jordan. The draft is not necessarily coming up, but it's kind of, aside from free agency, it's like the biggest offseason event that's on the horizon, that's on the calendar. We'll be going to the combine in Indianapolis next week, and that's like ground zero for our draft coverage, right? I mean, that's kind of when we start to become experts.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's when I, you know, I'm not an expert yet, but give me a week or two and I will be a 2017 draft expert.
Right. That's what spending 7 days in Indianapolis at the Combine will do to you. So people who really are experts on the draft, Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks, they have their own podcast. It's called the Move the Sticks podcast. We use it quite often here on the Wobcast. We're going to use it right now because Jeremiah and Brooks break down their current top five running backs in this year's draft class.
All right, Bucky, as we march towards the draft, going to be revealing some of our top five lists. You have your own top five. I have my own ranking list. We're kind of combining forces today to come up with our top five running backs.
Yeah, a composite list of the best running backs in this draft. Look, I know running backs have been devalued, but it not diminished in importance. You still need to have a guy to keep up.
All right, Bucky, start us off here. Number five, University of Texas, Deontay Foreman.
Big physical running back, a guy that does his damage between the tackles. I like that he's a workhorse running back. He's someone that you can hitch the wagon to. 25, 30 carries a game. He should be a guy that can get it done. I like where he sits. Maybe middle of the second round.
Almost 250 pounds. It's hard to find running backs that big. When I look for a comparison, LeGarrette Blunt came to mind as a similar
LeGarrette
frame,
Blunt is a nice
similar style.
Comparison. Absolutely.
All right, so Deontay Foreman comes in at number five. Number four on the list, go Volunteers.
How about Alvin Kamara? This is a guy that we both have talked about. Electric playmaker, an ideal change of pace back. I think his best weapons may be his ability to make plays in space, particularly as a receiver out the backfield. There's some conversation about will he be durable enough, because you never saw him have more than 18 carries per game. But this is a guy that is explosive. He is a threat to score from anywhere on the field when he gets hands on the ball.
His game against Texas A&M may be the best prospect game that I've seen so far during this process. All right, number three, again, a versatile back, a guy that can do a little bit of everything. We'll go to Stanford for Christian McCaffrey.
This is a triple threat, a guy that can make his impact as a runner, receiver, and return man. Outstanding vision, nice patience and balance and body control. Was a little nicked up this year, but when he's healthy, he is as explosive as any back in the game. I think he's someone who has a tremendous future if he gets to the right scheme.
Versatile, productive, instinctive, tough. I mean, he checks all those boxes. I think he's going to be somebody that can make an immediate impact. Again, let's go number two on the list. Keep this theme going, guys that can do a little bit of everything.
Hey, Dalvin Cook is a guy that certainly can do it all. He can run inside, he can run outside. He has home run ability, but he also shows the ability to grind. He is someone that I think can go into an offense, be it a straight power-based offense or an offense that likes to spread it out and find a way to fit. He's a big-time player, and in some lists, I think he might be the number one guy.
Yeah, I think because of what he can do on third down in passing situations, I think you'd say he's the best guy from that standpoint in this draft. But somebody that's definitely an explosive play waiting to happen. However, number one on the list, we go to the big man in Baton Rouge.
Hey, Leonard Fournette is the ideal workhorse that you want to hit your wagon to. This is a physical runner, a guy that has a nastiness about him that really sets the tone for your team. I like the fact that he can get inside, but he also has the speed and explosiveness to take it the distance. This is a grown man with the ball in his hands. Kind of reminds me a little bit of Adrian Peterson when he was coming out of Oklahoma.
Don't give him a little bit of a runway or you're going to want to get out of the way, because he can really build up that speed. He's definitely a power back, and he's built to carry the load, a heavy load. There are 25-plus carries a game. He comes in at number one on our top five running back list. All right, Bucky, only a couple days left. For those interested in scouting, we have a competition going on right now. Here's what you got to do. You just got to email a scouting report on your favorite NFL player from the 2016 season to movethesticks@nfl.com for a chance to win a year-long subscription to NFL Game Pass. That's where you can watch all the All-22 footage of every NFL game going back to 2009. You also get a chance to come on the Move the Sticks podcast with Bucky and myself and chat it up a little bit. For all the information rules, go to nfl.com/scouting competition. Remember, only till February 17th. That's this Friday. That's the deadline. Got to get this in. No purchase necessary. Open to legal residents 18 and older of the United States and the District of Columbia.
Jordan, one of the names they mentioned, Deonta Foreman, a running back from Texas. I get tons of emails from fans about Foreman, so I think he'll be a buzzworthy name that we'll have to pay attention to at the combine and then for the weeks leading up to the draft. This is a position to watch for the Vikings, regardless of what happens with Adrian Peterson, because I think either way the Vikings could stand to add some talent to the running back depth chart, some young talent. The best place to do that, of course, is the draft. So, you know, I think this will be a position for us to watch here in the next couple of weeks. Another one to watch is the quarterback position. We have our starter, Sam Bradford. Sean Hill is set to be a free agent on March 9th. And, of course, Teddy Bridgewater is coming back from an injury. So that may leave a hole or two on the quarterback depth chart for the Vikings. Mike Garofolo from the NFL Network breaks down some of the top quarterbacks in this year's class.
Surely, as there is every year, some real headliners there. Mike, how about some guys generating some real buzz as we get set for Indianapolis this year?
Well, Pat Mahomes, the Texas Tech quarterback that you're starting to hear a little bit more about, he is going to be an interesting case. And not just because of what he's going to do on the field. It's going to be about what he's going to do off the field. And he has been working as far as his understanding of NFL type offenses, because that's going to be the question mark with him. Can he run a pro style offense? So they'll get him in a room. They'll get him to break some stuff down on film, on the whiteboard, let's say. That is a big part of the combine, just as much as the on-field stuff is. And I believe that Mahomes, based on what I'm hearing, based on what scouts have seen of him on tape, what they believe, he will impress on the field. He's got good athleticism. He can make plays with his legs and with his arms. So that's going to be just fine for him. That's the expectation. He will do everything at the combine. He will throw. He will participate in all drills. Then he's going to have his pro day on March 31st. So this is going to be his chance to make a good early impression, not only on the field, but also in that meeting room, to show teams that he does understand pro-style offenses.
Yeah, I had a chance to talk with Mahomes and came away pretty impressed, getting a chance to spend some time with him this summer down at the Manning Passing Academy, not just with his physical tools, but with his kind of knowledge of the game a little bit. I think some of that gets lost with the offense that he ran there in Texas Tech. But another guy, you know, Mike, we didn't see him at the Senior Bowl, Deshaun Watson. That's got to make him a pretty, obviously, an intriguing prospect heading into the combine to see what he does or doesn't do in Indianapolis.
Yeah, he is, and he is. We're still waiting to hear what he is and is not going to do at the combine. That is still up in the air, from what I gather. But he is going to have a lot of similar questions. You know, can he run these offenses? Can he spread the ball around? He did a nice job of that in college. And some of the throws that he made last year to Mike Williams were the kind of throws that you have to make in the NFL, into tight windows when a guy is covered. So that is going to be the kind of stuff that he will need to continue to show them and to take to the next level. Just the entire quarterback class, though, that you're hearing is that a lot of these guys are just not going to be ready to play right away, and that they're going to be projects or mini projects, or they're still going to need some seasoning. You're not going to have those pro ready guys that you've had maybe in some recent years. And Deshaun Watson is going to be one of them. We will see what he does at the combine, but he could answer a lot of questions there, certainly, with what he does, like I said, with Mahomes on the field and off of it.
I've always kind of subscribed, Jordan, to the idea that it kind of makes sense to draft a quarterback every year. What are your thoughts on, like, no matter who you are and what you have, draft one in the middle or late rounds at least?
It's the most important position in the NFL, and mm-hmm. obviously it doesn't hurt to have one in your cupboard to develop and mold how you want.
Yeah. Like, we all mentioned Tom Brady as, like, the six-round quarterback, you know, you don't have to be a first rounder to make it. But I want to also reference Russell Wilson in Seattle, third-round pick.
Right.
I believe that they had signed Matt Flynn to a big money deal in free agency. So you're kind of like, if you're a Seattle fan, you might have been like, so scratch quarterback off. We're not drafting a quarterback this year.
Right.
Well, they did, and it ended up being Russell Wilson. So
yeah,
like,
and he was your starter. You spent money in free agency with Matt Flynn, and then you draft a guy in the third round, and he beats your free agent out for the starting position.
And I think that's a great illustration of why it might make sense to take a quarterback at some point in the draft, basically every year. You know, unless you have a young franchise guy, a backup that's already under contract, and like a Taylor Heineke. Let's say if Teddy was healthy and you had healthy Sam, healthy Teddy, and Taylor, who didn't get hurt last year, like, then maybe you wouldn't take one. But Taylor did get hurt last year. Teddy is not healthy right now, and Sean Hill is set to be a free agent. So the Vikings are a team that could draft a quarterback at some point.
It's kind of like the Super Bowl winning Patriots. I mean, how many times have we seen their backup quarterback, the mm-hmm. backup to Tom Brady,
right,
you know, end up somewhere because you see flashes in preseason and they end up going somewhere, signing a big contract and that kind of a thing. So.
Or the Patriots trade him and they get a draft pick
right,
for the guy,
correct.
Which could happen with Garoppolo this year. Those were some quarterbacks to watch from NFL Network's Mike Garofalo. All right, let's wrap up this Wobcast with some fan mail. Jordan, I know you got three of them, so let's get to it.
First question is from Mike. It seems like our secondary has developed some really good chemistry over the past couple seasons. What do you think the likelihood of re-signing both Newman and Munnerlyn is once free agency begins?
Yeah, they're both set to be free agents. Both have played well for the Vikings, and both know Mike Zimmer's defense really well. And Mike Zimmer does value continuity, and I think that's why you saw Andrew Sendejo re-sign and end up winning the starting job, because he knew the defense, and I think Coach felt comfortable playing Sendejo. So, you know, I think that Coach liking continuity kind of may compel him to want those veterans back. But we've also invested in young corners, Trey Waynes and Mac Alexander. So I think that would ease the Vikings' transition away from a couple of veterans if that were to happen. So what are the chances? I think it's you got a 50-50 chance of having both, you know, of having each of them back. Not both, but each is a 50-50 chance. So maybe you come away from free agency with one of them. Maybe you come away with two. Maybe you come away with none. But either way, I think you have guys like Mac Alexander and Trey Waynes who can step in.
All right, next question is from Pete. Are there characteristics, traits, and scheme fits for players that can be summarized as Spielman and Zimmer's ideal for a team identity?
I don't know. I think so. Jordan, what do you think here? I mean, we hear Coach and Rick talk about tough, smart, and disciplined. I don't think that's unique to Zimmer or Spielman. I think a lot of coaches and personnel guys like those traits. But I think that those are three traits that they look for. I remember with Leslie Frazier, it was a lot of we want big physical cover two corners. I think that is one that maybe Zimmer doesn't necessarily share, although I think Zimmer does like physical corners like Xavier. So I hesitate to really point out any specific traits outside of tough, smart, and discipline, because that's really all we hear. You know, that's what we hear the most from Spielman and Zimmer.
A couple times I've heard Zimmer say, you know, that he likes athletes, you know, like, yeah, doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, a button-down guy, but like he sees athleticism and like freak athletes. Take example for Danielle Hunter. He was a raw D end at LSU. Didn't have the stats there, but now look at him. Look at what Zimmer has molded him into. But you can't teach athleticism. You can teach all the rest.
Right. Maybe Jayron Kearse too.
Right.
You know, 6'4" safety, but super good athlete.
Yep. You can't teach height. You can't teach athleticism, but you can kind of teach them all the rest.
Right.
You know, I think that's kind of Zimmer's MO.
Yeah, that's a good point. All right, last one.
This is from Chris. Your best guess as when the NFL schedule will be released.
We always try and cheat. Ryan Cardinal is always the best at this. He always looks at the TV guide to see what NFL Network is showing, because sometimes they'll put schedule release on there when they haven't announced that they're releasing the schedule that day, but it's already on the TV guide. It's usually right around the draft. If the draft starts on a Thursday, sometimes they'll release the schedule on a Tuesday. Sometimes they'll release it late in the week prior. So we already know who we're playing. We just don't know, you know, when we're playing them. My guess would be within 5 to 7 days of the NFL draft. That's my guess. So that's one thing to look forward to right before the draft, the schedule release, and then, of course, the draft. It's always a fun April, and the early part of May is always a fun month in the NFL because you have those two events plus your rookie minicamp. Your offseason program is in full swing. So lots to look forward to here in the offseason, because the NFL really does not have an offseason. So that's going to do it for this edition of the Wobcast. Coming up next week, we'll still be here in Minnesota, and we will preview the Combine. Jordan and I will be going with a few others, including Eric Smith, one of our writers. So we'll have him on next week's Wobcast. It'll be his first trip to the Combine, so we'll try and pick his brain a little bit and get the rookie's idea of what he expects from the Combine, and we'll do a few other things to kind of prime the pump, so to speak, for the 2017 NFL Combine. So until then, hope everyone has a good weekend. Jordan, great job producing. Thank you very much for your help.
Thank you, sir.
All right, and thank you all for listening. Until next week, have a good weekend. We'll talk to you guys later.
So, yeah, I Baby, bye-bye.